Oh, the disrespect. The disrespect right out of the gate that I get shown, LZ. This is the thanks that I get, man.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Woo-hoo! Feel the sunshine on your face.
Yay!
Feel the raindrops on your skin. Baseball is here. Lakers had a scrimmage.
LAFC is playing games. We got LAFC. All of it. We are back to life.
It's Friday like a mug.
We are back to life as we sort of knew it before, LZ. Life is starting to feel just a little bit more like what we remember before everything turned upside down, man. A lot happening yesterday, and it was a lot of fun to witness.
It was a lot of fun, man, to just be in front of a television and just watch live game after game and not pretend as if you're interested in it, because we could have been watching games for like a month. You just had to fake it. Oh, I love Korean baseball. This is amazing.
Shouts out to you, Tommy.
but now we don't have to do that. Now we get to actually watch the guys that we're used to seeing. We get to watch the teams that we're recognized. We're back to having games and images that matter to us. And we don't have to pretend that we actually care about NASCAR.
No, don't have to pretend to care about NASCAR. I mean, look, I got all the support in the world for Bubba Wallace. This moment that he's been a part of, I want to see him thrive.
What's that being number?
No idea. No, not a clue. No idea whatsoever. I don't care. Like, I just want somebody to tell me that he did well, and that's enough for me. Like, I want to know that Bubba's succeeding. I don't want to watch him succeed. I don't care. And look,
and we didn't have to, because the Dodgers were back and they were at it. And holy cow, AK. Woo-hoo! I mean, where do we start?
Well,
where do we start?
You got an 8-1 win over the hated ones at the Ravine. And there's a lot of different storylines, whether you're talking about in the game, before the game, with the anthem. But we really probably need to start before the anthem, but like the before the game before the game. And that was the announcement, like probably about 3 hours before the game was beginning, that Clayton Kershaw was going to be shelved as the opening day starter, back stiffness. So Dustin May, who was left off the opening day roster to begin with, he ends up getting the start. And after some opening inning jitters, that first inning got a little bit hairy, he ends up coming through pretty nicely. 4 1/3 innings pitched, 7 hits, 1 run allowed, 4 strikeouts, and he ended up settling down, got himself out of a few jams, and he got the Dodgers out of a jam just with that performance.
I mean, listen, we already knew that he was talented. The question was whether or not the organization felt that it needed him in order to make this run to a championship. Because he's so young and because he's going to have to learn, and very much like Gavin Lux, you see the potential and you plan on him being here for a long time. It's just the combination of 60 games and where we are right now with the COVID and trying to get through for a championship. Wasn't quite sure if we're going to use this season to let him learn some things. What ended up happening, of course, was that was sped up. And I don't know if it was because it was just cardboard boxes in the stands. I don't know if it was because he's really unflappable like that, but he looked like a seasoned veteran in that start. Even when he got in a little bit of trouble, he didn't seem rattled by the trouble. You know, there was a point in which I wondered if, you know, Skipper was going to actually go out and get him because it was trouble. And even though this is a great offense, you don't want to put that offense in that kind of a hole if something goes off on that situation. But he managed it. And you're sitting back there and you're like going, are we so damn good that we can roll out a hill of beans and give them a baseball and they can be good for 2 innings? Are we that good?
Well, I mean, first of all, I think it really mattered that Roberts didn't pull him out of that trouble, even though, you know, in a 60-game season now, truly all of these games matter. You got to see what you have in him because he could end up getting another start. Like, he, you know, depending on what goes on with Kershaw, because we know now he's going to be out for at least a small chunk of time, you might need May again. And, you know, in a season like this where everything is ramped up and the urgency is just right out there in front of you, you got to see if he can handle this. And I think he had some jitters, like, when he got out there. And I don't blame him. Like, beyond the age, he didn't realize he was going to be doing this until a few hours before the game. And, you know, and like him, he's like everyone else on the team, LZ, he's adjusting to the weirdness of what's going on, you know, like opening day and there's no one there. But, you know, the magnitude of what's going on, like there's a lot for him to take in. And it wouldn't shock me if Dave Roberts gave him a little bit of leeway there just to make sure that May was the guy, because he may need May again in the near future, much less over the course of the season. Yeah.
Are we going to do "It's Gonna Be May" kind of joke? Is that what we're doing?
We got to commit if we're going to do it. We got to commit now. We can't just play around.
Do it. I was supposed to say, you going to do it. Jorge, go ahead and do it. Go ahead and play it. I'm going to lay back, and you go ahead and have the moment. Go ahead.
Don't dip your toes in. Go on in all the way.
Oh, now he's scared.
No.
Now he's scared, yeah. You like somebody on Twitter. You like that Twitter person that tries to call you out, and when you respond, they go away. That's what you like
there, Jorge. They delete the tweet.
No, I have to re-queue it and all that stuff, so I don't have the cut. But yeah.
Okay, fine, whatever. Well, it's gonna be May, and we'll see how long it's gonna be May, because he looked pretty good. His stuff we already knew was electric from last year when we saw him. I mean, his cutter moved the way that Kinley's used to. His fastball, you know, triple digits. Once again, when we talk about just having composure, he certainly showed us. After, as you mentioned, Andy, he got past the early jitters, which, let's face it, you know, nobody, regardless of how long they've been, you know, in the league, can say that every single start goes without jitters. Mookie talked about being a little nervous, getting the monkey off his back, trying to get that first hit on his new team. So it's acceptable for him, you know, as a young kid to have nerves. But what's encouraging is that those nerves didn't derail his start. And in fact, what it did would give Dave Roberts confidence that if we found ourselves in a similar situation in one of the more important games, and you need to perhaps turn to him as either a starter because of an injury or in relief because of an unlikely situation, that he's already shown you that he is able to get himself out of a difficult jam and manage his feelings, manage his emotions. And that was so encouraging to see, because to your point, Kershaw being pulled at the last minute was so unexpected. And the last thing I heard about May is that he was being optioned. So it's like, you know, get out of here. Oh, never mind. Come back. Oh, and by the way, you're starting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Let's throw a little something in your lap there, Dustin, see how you react. In the meantime, though, Dave Roberts, after the game, talked about Kershaw and how this injury even happened in the first place.
It's a tough lineup to navigate, and it was fun. And I think, to be honest with you, I don't think that we really had a great night offensively, and it just shows the talent that we do have in the room. But tonight was about the pitching. I think the pitching, the pen, did a really good job for us. We didn't move balls forward that we had to hit. You know, Kike carried us tonight, which was great.
Yeah, well, he did. That's a different cut, obviously. But he did talk about Kershaw getting injured. I'm not going to lie. To me, it's a little bit concerning, LZ, that Kershaw ends up – because Kershaw's had this recent history over the last few years of back issues, and, you know, back issues that lead to shoulder issues. It's the second year in a row where he's missed an opening day start because he began the season on the injured list. And I think this stuff matters – to Kershaw in terms of getting that opening day start. He did it at 1.8 seasons in a row, and now he's missed two in a row because he wasn't available over health, and health has been an issue for Kershaw. And in a 60-game season, like, you don't have the luxury of just sort of letting him, you know, slowly heal and take his time to get back into form. This stuff matters. Every single game matters.
Yes, every single game matters. That's absolutely correct. But I'm not worried. I'm not worried because of how he got injured. If you had told me that he was, like, you know, warming up and in the warm-ups he tweaked his back, now I'm worried because he's doing a motion that he normally does, and I begin to wonder if he's triggered something or that he's having some sort of breakdown in terms of the motion in order to throw the ball. That's not what I saw, not what I heard. What I heard is that he hurt himself in the weight room lifting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is pretty innocuous, you know. So I'm not concerned about this year. I understand about in the past, you know, the stiffness has come as he's throwing, but this was simply about, you know, maybe he had on 5 pounds too much or something like that. Who knows?
Well,
and
it's
not a direct baseball injury as much as just, you know, anybody who's ever been in a gym knows you turn the wrong way with the wrong weight at the wrong time, you could tweak something.
You can, but the problem is, though, your back doesn't know the difference. And if there's anything lingering from this, then it doesn't matter how you did it. What matters is that it actually happened. You know, it's like when Andrew Bynum used to always have these injuries early in his career, but they were weird ones. And people, you say, well, yeah, I'm not worried about it. It's just a freak injury. And it's like, well, it doesn't matter how it happened. The effect on his knees are the same. And we saw with Bynum, ultimately, like, he never could get past those injuries. Like, this was a thing for him. So, I mean, Kershaw is going to be unavailable for the team until the 31st. We'll see if he's able to return, you know, that day. If he's able to come back on the 31st, then you're likely right, LZ, that this is just a freak thing. But it's something to keep an eye on, though, because this season is so compacted, and Kershaw does have that recent history, and they're going to need him, man. Like, they are going to need
Kershaw. Don't
be scared,
Kershaw. Man. Don't be scared. Trust me. Trust me. I said they were going to score 9 runs. They got 8.
Okay.
You know how bold of a prediction that is?
That is a bold prediction.
We good.
That is a bold prediction. I'll tell you what is not a bold prediction is that Mookie Betts is a really good player and that he'd be really good for the Dodgers. We saw in this opening game the different ways that he affects baseball in a positive way for the Dodgers, and we'll talk about that next.
Oh. He committing now. He playing it.
Oh. Yeah, I'm feeling that mustache, Andy. If he's gonna have like 4 earned runs every single time he wears the mustache, I'm gonna say we go ahead and just let him ride with that to the end.
Yeah, big, big night for Kike in this 8-1 win over the Giants.
5 ribbies.
4 hits. God. 4 for 5. 5 runs batted in. He is currently, and I don't think this is going to hold, but to let people know the start he's off to, batting .800 with a slugging percentage of 1.4.
But that could hold up. 60-game season.
It can hold up. It's only 60 games.
That mustache can hold up, though. That mustache is strong, man. You got confidence when you're rocking that thing. Like, without even anything, like, you know, like a little thing under the lower lip, you know, something that makes you say, it's not really a mustache. Like, he's going, no, this is a mustache, baby.
Mustache.
Stare at this thing. This is a mustache.
And it's not even November, so it's not even a Movember mustache. No, this is just rando July mustache in your face. Get some.
Yeah, Kike was the man in this game. And, you know, obviously the importance of Kike is through the roof in a season like this where it's compacted and he can play every position basically. You know, he can fill in whatever needs. And we also saw too, Mookie Betts just 1 for 5 at the plate, but he scored the go-ahead run in this game that blew the whole thing open in the 7th. And we saw the different ways I thought, LZ, that his speed is so critical in a game. He had a big play where he ran down a pop fly over to the right field wall. Caught it. The speed was on display when he scored that go-ahead run. It was like it was pretty close to stealing home, like, because it was on an infield chopper, and he managed to get in. He was distracting on the base paths. Like, he's such a talented player, and we just saw that one element of it. Like, it's the one element of his talent affecting the game for the Dodgers.
Yeah, but it's such an important element, right?
Yeah.
What's the old phrase? Speed kills.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're Tyreek Hill or you know, Russell Westbrook, if you're faster than everybody else out there, it makes a lot. It makes a lot of differences. It can cover a multitude of sins. And you saw the fear in the Giants' eyes because they were just so afraid of his base running because of that speed. I am so excited to spend a decade with this player because he looks like, and I don't know if you saw the game from beginning to end.
I did.
But every single shot of him that I saw when he wasn't at bat had a smile on his face.
He
was just happy. He looked like he was enjoying the game, enjoying the moment. And remember, there were no people out there to cheer for him. He wasn't acknowledging people. He was acknowledging cutouts. The music was being, the crowd noise was being piped in. Yeah, the teammates were there and they were happy for him and stuff like that. But he just showed you just pure joy and love for the game. He's smiling and with nobody out there to even acknowledge the smile, man.
You know what, Matt? My wife and I were watching the game and she actually picked up on that. Just like the idea, just how much Mookie was smiling during this. She was like, he seems like a good guy. Because she asked me, like, you know, do you know him at all? Have you ever met him? I said, no, I've never actually met Mookie Betts before. I've never actually been around him. But she's just like, he's got this air to him that just everything seems positive and engaging and warm. And, like, he's an easy player to root for. And I think Dodger fans are going to have so much fun rooting for this guy for the next, you know, 13 seasons. He's going to be their guy. Like, you know, that in a perfect world, he's going to end up going down as one of the all-time great Dodgers because he's got the talent and he's got the opportunity to spend 13 years with one team. I mean, 13 years is a career, like, period. Like, 13 years in the majors, that's a good career, much less with one team.
And he's going to actually have two careers, if you will, because of the time that he spent in Boston. I mean, he won a chip and an MVP. So when he goes into the Hall of Fame, it's, you know, he's obviously going to go in as a Dodger, but some of those gaudy stats would have been good enough for him just to go in as a Bo Sox as well. And that's the kind of player that the Dodgers organization wanted to hitch his wagon to. You know, when you go back and you think about last offseason, it's early-ish. I should have it right by now. When you think about, you know, how people kind of made fun of the Dodgers for not being able to get anybody. You know, it's like, oh, nobody wants to be a Dodger. Oh, Bryce Harper's going over here.
Anthony Rendon.
Going to New York. Right, exactly. And it's just like everything worked out like Ecclesiastes 3:1 says. Perfect timing, man. We got out of all the players that we missed out on, either because they didn't want to be here or the Dodgers didn't want to give them a 10-year deal. Out of all teams and talent and players and bats and arms that didn't come to us, we still ended up with the best player out of the bunch.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's absolutely amazing. And everyone I spoke to who has spent time with him, whether within the organization or back in Boston, in my own reporting, I can't find a single person saying anything negative about Mookie. Not a single person. Now, I'm sure his mama may have some stories about when he was 12 or something like that. But other than that, I can't find anybody that says, you know what, we got to wait and see. That wasn't always the case, you know, with some of the other players since I've been in Los Angeles. You know, and I'm not just talking about Puig, though obviously Puig is one of those individuals. But here you have a guy who's extremely talented, who's likable, who's smiling, who's family friendly, who's got a good heart, and he's a hell of a player. And he's ours until I'm in my 60s.
Wow. Wow, man. Thinking of it that way, LZ, it's totally depressing. Because it's going to hit me when I'm in my 60s too. Like I had been really excited about this until you put it like that. And now it just feels like a cloud hanging over me. Like the idea that when Mookie finally retires from the Dodgers, you know, or who knows, maybe he signs another short-term deal. But whenever this contract is over, I'm going to be in my damn 60s. Thank you, LZ. You needed that. Hey, thank you.
Doesn't LZ seem like a cranky old man? He's already abrasive and unfortunate, you know, unpleasant to be around now. Imagine when he's in his 60s, all preachy and you know, and teaching lessons and read your books. Oh, get off my grass. Oh, it's going to be horrible.
He's going to find something that he's disappointed with Mookie, that Mookie doesn't get.
Yeah.
He's a young guy and he's incapable of understanding because he hasn't done enough living. He hasn't done enough living up in this world.
Yeah.
What are you guys talking about? I'm going to be a freaking Ben and Jerry's ice cream eating, beer drinking.
No, you're going to be the old man at Starbucks playing chess, just criticizing everybody walking around.
No. Because I
what the hell are those pants?
Nope. I got it totally wrong. I'm going to grow my locks all the way down to my ankles.
Okay.
It might be like three or four. I'm gonna be like Stevie Wonder. It's gonna be balding, but I'm gonna have four or five little locks in the back end holding on. And they're gonna go all the way down to my ankles. I'm gonna be eating Ben and Jerry's ice cream still. Okay. I'm gonna be just riding around in like a Scooby van, and I'm
gummies,
just gonna be a hippie.
You gonna have gummies?
Gummies for everybody. Gummies for everybody. I'm gonna make my own gummies.
Wow.
I'm gonna make my own gummies by then. You get a gummy. You get a gummy.
You get a gummy.
And I'm going to continue to grow fresh herbs. I may experiment with some basil.
What kind of herbs?
And oregano.
What kind of herbs are we talking about?
Basils and oregano. I don't have, you know what? I know I'm not made for that growing pot life. And when I talk to people about that.
That's a lot of work.
Invested in.
So, it is a ton. When I was in college, there was a summer that I spent living in Venice, in a house with some people that I largely didn't know. I knew one person.
Yeah.
And one of my roommates was growing pot, and the entire room was set up around this guy's pot growing, like mini opera. I mean, this was as small time
ultraviolet
as
lights.
It got. Oh yeah, he had a bunch of phototrons. Like, you know, it's the summer. It is blazing hot in this place, and he's got dark curtains up, and because he wanted to make sure. Oh, you know, we got to be sensitive of these plants. I'm like, dude, are you effing kidding me? Like, it's like 110 in this apartment, and we're worried about your six little plants. Like in your ten different phototrons set up.
Well, LZ, I take it back. You don't sound too bad as an old man. I'm sorry, I take it back.
There you go. Now you, on the other hand, I can see you being cranky.
No,
I can
I'm
see
happy.
That happening.
I can't see Raj ever getting old.
He won't Raj. at the pace he's going. You won't have to worry about it. The pace he's going.
Raj is going to be the Chris Rock, a little too old to be in the club. that's gonna be Raj at 60 something. What's the latest dance, you kids? All right, Mookie, by the way, too, was not just made an impact on the field that we're all going to remember. Before the game with the anthem, there was a moment involving Mookie that I think we're all going to remember too when it comes to his first game. Talk about that coming up next. Morning show, 710 ESPN. Dodgers out of the gate with an 8-1 win.
Yay!
Over the Giants. But a lot of the story, LZ, was before the game with the anthem. And, you know, we saw earlier in the Yankees game, you had both teams lined up, everybody kneeling, and all holding this symbolic rope that's supposed to symbolize everybody being unified together. And it wasn't the same showing between the Dodgers and the Giants at the Ravine. There was only one Dodger kneeling, and it happened to be Mookie Betts, their new face, and frankly, their new black face of this team. And I thought it was an interesting visual just seeing Mookie as that one lone player doing it. Dave Roberts said before the game and afterwards that this is something he told his players, you are allowed to do this, and it is your choice, ultimately. We're going to leave it up to everybody individually. And Mookie spoke after the game about his choice.
It just shows unity. I think everybody's on board with what's going on in the world. We have to make some change, and, you know, it starts here, and we have to do our part. And, you know, it's amazing to know that everybody here is on board with something. And, like I said, we have to find a way to make change, and this is the first step.
I thought it was interesting too, LZ, that he talked about how he comes from a military family, and for a while, Mookie Betts wasn't doing this because I think, frankly, he bought into that narrative that doing this is disrespectful to the military. You know, it's disrespectful to the flag. You know, the counter narrative that a lot of people who objected to this in the first place, I think a false narrative, were putting out there. And he eventually said that he came to realize that's not what this is about. And particularly the moment that we're in right now, this is something that I need to do, you know, for me and for the world at large.
Yeah, you know, it's really, really interesting because, you know, Dave Roberts had a similar sort of attitude, you know, a couple seasons ago in regards to, you know, kneeling. And I think that in a lot of ways, when the messaging got hijacked, it really allowed a lot of people who didn't really care either way to have cover.
Yeah.
So it allowed them to cover their apathy, if you will. And you can cover your apathy by pretending as if you're actually standing for something. You know, it was like a weird dynamic. But obviously things have changed since the uprisings. Things have changed since Breonna Taylor. Oh, and by the way, the officers who murdered her still have not been arrested, as well as George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery. The three deaths, one after the other, that kind of really set this movement where it is today. And during all the discussions, during all the conversations, the people who used to use, I would say, the military argument as cover for either apathy or latent racism, you know, take your pick, you know, that was ripped away and there's no more cover. That's the beauty of what's been happening. Sides are being decided upon and you no longer are able to play Switzerland. You can't just say, you know, I'm not a racist. Either you're anti-racist or you're complicit. And I think what you saw, or what you've been witnessing in baseball in particular, are a lot of franchises as well as players and managers who may have been, you know, anti-kneeling when it first was part of the conversation, realizing there's no space for them in that area anymore. And I have to choose a side. So I'm going to choose the side of being anti-racist because I don't want to be associated with the other side.
Well, we're seeing, too, this massive culture shift, you know, across sports. But if you look at baseball, like, it is unfathomable just, you know, 6 months ago, the idea that you would see BLM on a pitcher's mound in a Major League Baseball mm-hmm. game. Like, I mean, because culturally and, you know, politically, you know, when you look at the demographics of, I think, a lot of the athletes in baseball, but certainly the fan base that a lot of baseball caters to, especially if you get off the coasts, baseball is a very conservative sport, you know, culturally, politically, it just is. And, you know, that doesn't necessarily carry a judgment to it, but it is something that would resist a BLM being on the mound. Like, and that is something that I could not have imagined not that long ago, but this is where we are right now. And you mentioned an interesting word before, and that was complicit. And I think for people like Dave Roberts or Mookie Betts, you start realizing, like, even if I care about this, if I allow that narrative about, you know, what kneeling has been, you know, perverted into meaning, you know, if I allow that to persist, then I am complicit, like on a certain level. And I don't want to be complicit anymore. Like, you start seeing the stakes of what complicity means and you don't want to be a part of that.
No, you don't. And, you know, I've had conversations with, you know, some of the owners of the Dodgers, you know, Peter Guber, obviously Magic Johnson. I've had conversation with management, you know, whether you're talking Dave Roberts or Lon Rosen. I've had conversations with players. And what I know is that from the very top of this franchise all the way down to the bottom, there are ongoing conversations about what this franchise can do to insert himself in a positive way with access to his resources in a positive way to make the necessary changes in order for this country to finally fulfill her promise. That's what you need, not just from the Dodgers, but from every sports organization that purports to be on the side of Black Lives Matter. It's not enough to have a patch. It's not enough to, you know, have a good song, you know, whether you're going to sing the Black National Anthem or the national anthem that everyone else knows. That's a nice gesture. But essentially, that is a vocal equivalent of a hashtag on Twitter. It's a nice way to raise awareness, but it doesn't actually do anything. You need to be doing something.
Well, you actually...
The Dodgers, from what I've been told, you know, are committed to continuing to do things. Because remember, they've already been very active in this space anyway.
Yeah.
But now
yeah.
they're going to be even more active and more focused.
I mean, look, you're also, depending on the team that we're talking about, you're going to have to be willing to deal with some blowback from fans. Like the Red Sox, for example, the team put up a Black Lives Matter mural outside Fenway. And, I mean, the jokes write themselves. A lot of Bostonians angry about this, LZ, on social media, at Cassandra Rules. I am disgusted and upset in reaction, at Mike Netkovic. This is a big mistake. I thought the Red knew who makes up Red Sox Nation. Apparently, they don't. Keep social statements out of the game. Boy, that is a loaded tweet. That is a loaded tweet right there.
I thought you knew who made up the Bo Sox Nation.
Boy, Mr. Netkovic, you are telling on yourself, man.
I thought you knew who we were.
Then
Daniel
Coffey, I'm done. I've been a fan since 1969. Any organization that supports a terrorist organization, I cannot support. I want all that believe this to no longer support the Red Sox organization. Actually, misspelled it, Ted Sox organization. I wish people would do their homework and see what Black Lives Matter really is. You're going to have to deal with this. I mean, if you're baseball in particular.
Is that a Twitter thread?
These are some of the...
I was just wondering if he actually told us the information that he has, or is he just putting out profound statements that really aren't profound at all?
Well, I'm sure he saw it on some Reddit forum. He learned about this all on Reddit. You know, he saw exactly what it is. Yeah, man, subreddit.
If I was in charge of the Red Sox, if I was an owner of the Red Sox, I would be embarrassed by those responses. Because then I would begin to wonder, what have I been sending out there that made people feel as if we wouldn't support Black lives? That we wouldn't say that they shouldn't be treated in the way that they've been treated in this country for as long as they have been treated. If I were an owner of the Boston Red Sox and people were saying, I thought you knew who your fan base was, and all I'm doing is fighting for equality, I gotta wonder, what have I been saying as in my marketing, in the way that I carry myself, in my donations? What have I been communicating to the world that made people who are upset at the ideal of equality come at us like that?
Well, I mean, look, you've catered to a city that is notorious for having these type of issues with Black people, but also Black players, because there have been enough players across different sports, Black athletes, who've talked about how difficult it can be to be a Black athlete in Boston. And, you know, obviously you're talking about different, you know, different teams, whether you're talking about the Red Sox, whether you're talking about the Patriots, whether you're talking about the Celtics. This exists. And there's enough common experience there. And if nothing else, you know, people like Mike Netkovic have seen their organization, I guess, on the surface, not do anything about it. You know, maybe they haven't done anything encouraging it, but like we were talking about before, being complicit. And this is a moment where if you're the Red Sox, if nothing else, you're putting out the message of we will not be complicit anymore. And that's going to rub the Cassandras and Mike Netkovics and the Daniel Coffees of the world the wrong way. The people that say Black Lives Matter is a terrorist organization. And if you're the Red Sox, you just have to say we're going to do it anyway. We're going to put up this type of mural, and if we lose these guys, so be it. Because you can't be complicit anymore.
Absolutely. Man, listen, when Dr. King was alive, he was one of the most hated men in this country.
Yes.
Hated.
Yep.
Hated. Nelson Mandela was classified as a terrorist by the United States.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was.
I mean, so go ahead. What's her name? Becky, what's her name?
You Cassandra. Her name was Cassandra Fairbanks.
Okay, Miss Fairbanks, you go on ahead with that. You go on ahead and let us know who you think make up Bo Sox Nation. But I know that Mr. Kraft, who's from the same area, who's been successful in the same area, he's been operating in this space for a long time. He's been saying Black Lives Matter for a long time. And I don't see anybody saying we're going to boycott the Patriots to the degree in which he's feeling hurt economically. I don't see that happening. You seem to be in the minority. In fact, we shouldn't become too obsessed with these little Twitter people anyway, because I know people think Twitter represents everybody in the world, but it truly doesn't. It just represents the people who bother picking up the phone and typing something.
Yeah, I mean, it's the old letters to the editor. Now they're just viral. Exactly. And we've seen just from the composition of the racial composition of the different protests across the country, it's a lot more unified than the Cassandras of the world want to believe it is, with their, I guess, beloved Red Sox betraying them. All right, coming up, I'm very excited about this. My first snake draft. I'm really stoked about this. One hit
Let's
wonders.
Go, Dustin May.
Great. Oh, okay. Challenge on.
That's right, boys and girls. You know what that music means. It means it's time for another morning show. It's a snake draft.
Yay!
And you know, I was sitting there listening to some music the other day, and we were talking about the great Adam Ant the other day, Andy, and LZ and Travis tried to get
Sweet
on me about not knowing anything about
great?
Yes, in Twitterverse, they all admitted that he was pretty good or great. I don't know what they said.
Was he Cassandra from Boston?
You had your little goody two shoes. You had desperate but not serious.
Strip.
Adamant was a thing for a while. He was a legit
thing. Thank you.
Thing.
Was not a one-hit wonder. However, since LZ and Travis thought he was, it made me think of, what are your favorite one-hit wonders? So, Andy, we will start with you. You're the guest. You go first. Give me your favorite one-hit wonder. Makes you think of the MTV days, right?
Yes, it does. And I'm starting right out of the gate with that. I'm going Soft Cell, Tainted Love. And this to me is the ultimate one-hit wonder, because it is the only song Soft Cell is known for, and it's not even their song. This is a cover.
I didn't even know the name of the band. I didn't know the name of the band until you said it right now.
It is a cover, and it's not even their song, and it's what they're best known for. That, to me, defines one-hit wonder.
Okay, good choice. Good choice there. That's a nice one. LZ, what do you got? You got back-to-back picks here, LZ, because you know what this is.
It's a snake draft.
That's right.
Yes, it is a snake draft.
Thank you, Chris.
My first one-hit wonder is a song that, as soon as you hear the first couple of notes, the dance floor just gets swamped.
Ooh.
And it's been decades since it's been released, and it still has that impact, and that would be Jump Around.
Oh, nice one. That's right.
You don't have to jump around? No help for her? All right, it's okay.
That's fine. We're moving on. What's your next pick? Right. What's your next pick?
We're moving on.
Too long list from you guys, man.
Don't you blame the list on me.
In Jorge's defense, when Andy sent it early in the morning and you sent it last second. So that's what you get. Go ahead and give us your second pick, LZ, because you know what time it is.
I know it's time to expose you. That is not how it unfolded. I did not send mine last minute, and Andy did not send his early in the morning. This is ridiculous. I am not going to.
Let's go. We don't have all day for your whining. Let's get your second pick.
Fine. And with the second pick, I am going to stay in the hip-hop area. This song went all the way to number one, and then the artist fell all the way off the face of the earth. That is High Stepper.
Yeah.
What is it, Inokaze, or what is his name?
Hey, now we got some music. Hold on. Hey.
Come on, this is nice early in the morning. Come on.
Hey.
I'm stepping right now in the kitchen. I'm stepping.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Wait till the beat drops. Here we go.
We'll have all day for these. All right, come on. Okay. Pot it down. We got it. Andy, that brings us to you for your third and fourth, for your second and third pick, so you know what it is.
What is that, Inokaze?
It's a snake draft.
That's right. All right, what do you got here? Second and third picks, Andy.
I'm going with Modern English, I'll Stop the World. I'll stop the world and melt with you.
I like that one. Okay.
Modern English, not known for anything else but this song, but it is a fantastic song, stood the test.
You got some big hair songs. Big hairs.
Well, I'm gonna shift genres a little bit, though, with my next one, and that would be from a group known as Lips Incorporated Funky Town.
Funky Town.
All right.
We don't Funky know Town, any, we don't know anything else from Lips Incorporated. I'm not even sure they have another song other than Funky Town, but Funky Town. Right. That, you want to talk about getting people up on the dance floor? Funky Town will still do it.
All right. That's a good pick. Good pick here. All right, LZ, these are your third and fourth picks because you know what it is.
It's a snake draft.
What do you got here for me?
All right. Well, I'm going to go with a song that not only hit number one and stayed number one for a number of weeks, okay, but actually became part of our everyday vernacular.
Oh.
Yes.
She got a big butt? I like big butts.
Nope, nope, nope. Because first of all, he wasn't a one-hit wonder.
No, no. My Posse's on Broadway is his best song, but go ahead.
Uh-huh. I'm going with Whoop, There It Is.
Oh. Still played at Raider games today. They play it like it just came out.
I thought about these guys, but then I realized there's also the Whoop, There It Is. Remember, there's the Whoop, There It Is.
And then the Mickey Mouse one. Didn't they have a Mickey Mouse one or something like that?
Yeah.
They had a cartoon version. Okay, but good choice. All right, Whoop, There It Is. Definitely a one-hit wonder. What else you got, LZ?
And then for my last song, I'm just going to stay in this area. I mean, I was thinking about, you know, some songs that were flowery and nice ballads, okay, but I was like, you know what? Let's keep the club going. All right.
Okay.
So you had it close, Raj. It's not big butts, but it's about your rump shaking. I'm going with Rump Shaker by Rex in Effect.
Oh yeah. Okay. Rump Shaker, Rump Shaker. Nice sample there they took from Public Enemy, and I forget who else did the original. All right, nice one. Okay. All I want to do is boom, 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 Rump Shaker there. Oh, okay, yeah, there we go. Yeah. So those are our one-hit, yes, one-hit wonders. And Andy, you can wrap up our one-hit wonder. It's a snake draft right here with your final pick.
I am going to go with one Eddie Grant and Electric Avenue.
Electric Avenue.
Oh, my goodness.
We're going to rock. Going to
Electric Avenue.
That song also, too, like, it came out when I was about 10 or 11, so I just loved the song, but I didn't really understand what was being sung about. You get older, you realize, man, that is an angry song.
He's
mad. Like, that is a political song.
So mad they never let him record another song.
Nope.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we're going to rock down to Electric Avenue.
Like, I didn't realize this is like a protest and probably a riot that's about to start. I didn't know what it was. It just seemed like a fun song.
Ain't no Electric Avenue in the hood. You know, we have to go somewhere and do something, man.
All right. So to wrap this up, we did our one-hit wonder. It's a snake draft.
It's a snake draft.
Andy took Tainted Love, I'll Stop the World out of Big Hair there, Funky Town and Electric Avenue. LZ took Jump Around, High Stepper, Whoop, There It Is, and Rump Shaker. And of course, you can go to ESPN Los Angeles Twitter page and we'll put up a poll. Janice will get on that and you can vote for your favorite one-hit wonders. It's a snake draft. Good luck, gentlemen. Good luck. I wish the best of luck to both of you.
We both had real.
I hope you win, Andy. I really hope you win.
I know you do. It's obvious you do. Like,
you played the bass guitar back in the day. I hope you win.
LZ Raj was like talking me through this before the show. He's like, look, there's certain strategies if you want to take down LZ. Like, here's some of his drafting habits, you know, his ticks, his tells.
I gave him the scouting report.
I'm sure you did. I'm going for a three-peat, Andy. This is the third time I'm trying to go for a three-peat.
Look, man, I know how good you are at this. I just wanted to come up with a list that didn't embarrass myself. Like, I think, if nothing, it's solid. I did not embarrass myself.
No. That is a very, very solid list. Some of those songs I had actually considered, but I decided to stick with the clubbing genre.
Oh, you like created a club, man.
Yeah, I decided just to keep the music flowing because I was going to pick Call Me Maybe, which I think is a great song in general, and it's a big one-hit wonder. Or whatever her name is, up from Canada or whatever
Carly
her name
Jepsen.
Is.
Carly
yeah.
By the way, guys, another cast member is in for Andy. Karen just voted me. Andy wins. She just texted me that. Karen K. Excellent. On traffic. So, drive out of that.
There you go.
Drive yourself into a wall, LZ. Excellent. Let's drive to break.
All right, let's – coming up, Lakers also kicking off their season or the preseason, I should say, with a scrimmage against the Mavericks. They end up losing – But what really mattered for the Lakers was on display. Explain that coming up next, 710 ESPN.